And a very good morning to you. This is the Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. I want to say a very special hello to all the children going to school for the first time today. And in saying that, if you're wondering why I'm here, we'll say a very special good morning to Greg Ashling and to Hudson as well. I hope all goes well, as I'm sure it will. If you had said to me last night what's going to be the main topic of discussion on the show today, I would have said, well, probably first day in school, Sky Clarice is going to get a good run, and then the news came through that changed everything. My daughter just let out a yelp of almost pain, and she had just seen something crop up on her iPad, and it was that Dolly Parton had passed away. And I think her reaction was probably typical of everyone's. We're going to be talking quite a bit about Dolly on the show today. If you're watching our social media this morning, you already have seen Shannon has put a post up asking you for your memories of Dolly Parton, a wonderful, wonderful mainstay of the entertainment industry, and a woman about whom a lot is being said and will be said, and we'll be saying some of it on the show today. If you want to contact the show, by the way, you can text or WhatsApp us on 086 60 25000. We are obviously on YouTube on Highland Radio Ireland. We're on Facebook. You can watch the show unfold with Zoom guests and studio guests and so on over the course of the next 2 hours there. You can email comments at highlandradio.com, and you can also use our social media. We're Highland Hub on Facebook and at Highland Radio on X, and there are also other numerous ways of getting in touch with the show which you can utilise should you so choose. Let's go to the papers on this Wednesday morning, and locally we'll go to the Finn Valley Voice. The main story, it's an interesting one, because there was a national newspaper article recently with regards to the fact that the Twin Sounds of Ballybuffet and Stranorlar have returned very high dereliction figures under the geodirectory survey that's done every year. And just by pure coincidence, the new geodirectory figure has in fact been published today. Now, it shows that Ballybuffet and Stranorlar remain the towns with the highest dereliction within Donegal. It used to have the national highest figure as well. That's no longer the case. It's been bypassed by a couple of percentage points by Shannon in County Clare. But on the front of the Finn Valley Voice this morning, Ballybuffet and Stranorlar, a town is its people. And there's been a big pushback in the Twin Towns, it's fair to say, with regards to that recent article. And we are going to be returning to this story a little later in the programme. Obviously, on the national papers, the main story this morning, the main photograph this morning, is Dolly Parton. And it's funny, a number of the papers all sharing the same headline: "We will always love you, Dolly." It's an obvious headline really on a day like this, and I think it does speak to a fundamental truth that Dolly Parton was one of these people who, irrespective of your views on country music, Dolly Parton was a person apart. Now, I am not the biggest country music fan in the world, but I absolutely love Dolly Parton, as I think everybody does. I've never, ever heard anyone say, "Dolly Parton, don't like her." Never. Because even if you weren't the biggest fan of her music, her work, and I was chatting with Lee about this before the news, Dolly's work in terms of philanthropy, Dolly's work in terms of promoting literacy, she was a person who put millions upon millions. I heard a comment on national radio this morning that were it not for the fact that she gave so much money away and invested so much in her philanthropy, she would have been a billionaire, but she wasn't a billionaire. And the reason she wasn't a billionaire is that she never hung on to the money long enough. Did she earn over a billion? She earned well over a billion, but she gave so much away, she was never a billionaire. And isn't that a wonderful template for someone like Dolly Parton to have? And wouldn't it be lovely if some other unnamed men, let's be honest, in the particular social media, car manufacture and space exploration, not mentioning any names, but a number of people could take example from Dolly, and if they did, this world would be one hell of a better place. We'll be speaking more, obviously, about Dolly over the course of the programme. The other front page story on the Irish Independent, and its continued insight, is a story of Garda overtime, and some Gardaí now earning in the region of 95,000 euro plus a year when they factor in overtime. And Inside Story is an interesting headline. Garthy stretched to the limit as Trump and EU events could push overtime bill past 200 million euro. And there's a lot of talk, obviously, about vesting new Garthy and new Garthy coming into the force. But as we always know, as Garthy are coming into the force, there are also Garthy leaving the force, and there are Garthy retiring, and there are Garthy moving on to different things. And the GRA constantly arguing that more needs to be done to promote retention and more needs to be done to promote recruitment. And yeah, there is a very, very difficult few months ahead, I think, for the Garda authorities and the commissioner. The visit of Donald Trump, because the Irish Open is taking place at Doonbeg, the golf course stroke hotel that he owns. But also EU events. And I mean, we all remember previous EU presidencies where events just saw a huge amount of security being necessary, and that in turn is going to create headaches for Garda administration and for the Garda commissioner. As we know, another big thing actually happening today, and it's almost been sidelined to a certain extent, is first round CAO offers are being made, of course, because the Leaving Cert results came out on Friday of last week. Now, we know that the Leaving Cert saw a fall in some grades because various mechanisms had been brought in over the course of COVID to equalise, and I must confess I don't fully understand the way these things work. So the grades this year have fallen slightly as a result of that. But there is a comment in the front of the Irish Times this morning: fall in Leaving Cert grades will not lead to points drop. Now, points for hard to access courses such as medicine and dentistry are unlikely to fall. Now, there is an argument that says those points are not based on educational achievement. Those points are based on the scarcity of the course. So in many cases, sometimes I think we say, well, the reason the points are high for medicine and dentistry is that you need a load of points because you need to be very, very intelligent and clever to get those places. Now, that is true. You do need to be an amazingly intelligent and capable person, and you also have to have a commitment to study that goes way beyond anything I ever demonstrated, to be bluntly honest about it. But you also have to look at the solid cold fact that while the points do reflect the level of achievement and the level of dedication necessary to do those courses, the high level of points also reflects the fact that there is a scarcity of places, and in many cases it's the scarcity of places as much as anything else that actually governs what the point level is going to be. So good luck to all of those who are looking for their CAO offers. I think it's 2 o'clock this afternoon they're coming out. I think it used to actually be published in the papers in the morning. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think it might be 2 o'clock and done online, but you can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But all the best to those who are awaiting offers today. And as I've said before, all the best to all the parents as well, because I have been that parent, and it has been it's a stressful day, obviously, for the student, but it's also a stressful day for the parent, because when you're looking at it, it's a maelstrom. It is a maelstrom. Irish Daily Mail this morning: ministers hailed housing figures despite warning. Officials said pipeline weakened, but Harris spoke of momentum. Now, look, we always know, we've known this for years, that housing figures will come out, and commentators will look at the negative side and will take the slightly negative view, and the government will find something that it can be positive about, and the government will accentuate that. And as ever, the truth lies somewhere in the middle, possibly slightly skewed more toward the commentators than the government in a lot of cases. But it turns out the briefing documents prepared for the Housing Minister, James Brown, in July, which have been obtained by the Irish Daily Mail, warned that longer-term housing outlook was less certain and the supply pipeline had weakened somewhat during 2025. However, when the Taoiseach went to give his analysis of the figures, he gave something slightly different. The Red Tops this morning, very much Dolly Parton on all the front pages. We will always love you, Dolly. We will always love you, Dolly. Identical headlines on the Mirror and the Star. And let's make it 3 in a row. Irish Sun: we will always love you, Dolly. It's the obvious headline, and indeed we will. That's how the papers are looking on the programme this morning. As we said, this is the Greg Hughes Show. It's Donal with you until 11 o'clock this morning. If you want to get in touch, please do so. You can text us or WhatsApp us 086 60 25000. You can call us, by the way, 074 91 25,000. And also, of course, we will be available on Twitter, Facebook and all the other social medias. All of us, as we said earlier, admired Dolly Parton. All of us loved Dolly Parton. Very few of us can say that we knew her. One person who can is Margot O'Donnell, the girl from Donegal. Margot, good morning.
Good morning, David. It's nice, or Donnie, it's nice to talk to you.
And thank you indeed for talking to us.
But a very sad morning.
It is, because you've made the point that you, and the bottom line is this, from your point of view, you've lost a friend.
I have, yeah. That's it. Dolly and I had a personal friendship. Although we recorded together, the album that we did in 98 together was inspired by her family and her. And I went over and I spent beautiful weeks mixing with them and being with them. And Dolly was wonderful. She always, not that I ever asked her, I always think of, and I think it's very important to try and put across the realness of Dolly Parton. She joked about herself because she was able to. But I remember being in the studio. We were having photo shoots done, the two of us, and you know, we were talking about songs on the CD, and I said to her, you know, Dolly, I said, I will never sell the CD on your back. I won't advertise that they're your songs or anything like that. And she looked at me straight in the eye and she said to me, I know that. Why do you think I'm here? You know, and that was the way it was. You know, I lost a friend yesterday and I'm sad, but I'm glad as well that she didn't suffer anymore. She got respiratory problems in the past 8 days, I think it was, and that's what took her, but she had underlying cancer problems.
Yeah. And she'd been very quiet about that. She had made veiled references to ill health, but she'd never. And she even did say as recently as last week that she would keep working as long as she could.
Yeah. No, she didn't want anybody to feel sorry for her. She felt she was very, very fortunate in life. But you know, Donald, since Carol passed away, and Stella, her sister, said this to me, she hasn't just been.
Yeah.
Being the Dolly, the jovial Dolly. And I remember her saying to me, you know, Carl had memory problems before he died. And he sat in a chair next to the window. And I remember Dolly saying, when I come into the room, I'll walk over to him and I'll say, hi, Carl, do you know who I am today? And he would always look at her and he would say, yeah, you're my Dolly. And then she said, one day I came in and I asked him the same question and he didn't answer. He didn't know me. And although people didn't see Carl out and about with Dolly, he was very, very much her backbone. And she sort of went into herself then and worried about him all the time and waited there hand and foot. And then she developed problems herself. Actually, just about a week before he died, and she hasn't really been the Dolly we knew since. She's always been upbeat, but I knew, and I said it to her sisters, I said, the day that she came on and said that she couldn't get to Dollywood for the opening of the big ride they had there, I said to them, this is it. It's over.
And that relationship between Dolly and Carl was, as you said, was integral to her, but it was one of the great loving relationships in music and one of the most enduring relationships, but it was one that was never in the papers. It was never on the fancy magazines. It was never on the covers.
No, they were very
private.
Very, very private. Carl lived a very, very private life. Now, he went out and about and he went to a show. He loved rock music and things like that. He loved Dolly's music, but didn't attend the shows. They would go down to East Tennessee where she had, I remember, Donald, you know, hearing from her Uncle Lewis. It was her Uncle Lewis that contacted me first way back in 96. And he had sent me over some demos, said that he had read a thing on the internet about me. And he thought that Dolly and I came from relatively the same kind of background. So I would go over to visit Lewis in East Tennessee in Dollywood. They had a family band there, and I would get up and we'd have a show together and that. And then I would go visit Stella and our little place outside Pigeon Forge. And I always went over to her mum and dad. I never left Pigeon Forge without visiting them. And then Dolly called me one day and she said, you know, we need to do a CD together. I'll sing the harmonies and we'll do a couple of duets. And that's how it all started. I went to Nashville and I went to her studio. And I was in the studio actually when she pulled up on the bus from Los Angeles. And I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget the fun that we had for 6 weeks. And you know what's, and I never said this before, but I was staying down in the Hall of Fame hotel just at the bottom of Music Row. And I was there for 6 weeks. And we were recording night and day. The family all came over from East Tennessee and they were the musicians. And it was very much a family affair. And the night before I was to come back to Ireland, I went down to the reception and to settle my account. And I knew the girl on reception and she said to me, you owe $10 for laundry. And Dolly had taken care quietly of my whole bill. And, you know, it wasn't, she never talked about it. I asked her about it and she says, me? I did nothing. You know, she was goodness to the point of beyond belief. And I'm not just saying that. You hear people talking nice about people when they die, you know, but I'm not talking nice about Dolly. I'm telling you like it is. I lost a friend. I really did. And I'm going to miss her forever. But I'm glad I have her sisters and all that. And I know she didn't want no fuss. She's having a quiet. She had a quiet burial and everything for Carl. And she'll have the same herself.
It's when people talk about it, and I had a chat with Lee this morning, and I mean, one of the things I've always known about Dolly Parton is, and I said it, she could have been a billionaire, but she wasn't a billionaire because she gave away so much money. And she invested so much, be it in vaccines, be it in education, be it in libraries. And I think the fact that she put so much into libraries and education, that came from the family, that came from her background, that came very much from her roots. And she saw libraries, books, education as a way from protecting other people from the poverty that she endured.
Yeah, and of course, Lee Parton, her father, he couldn't read nor write. You know, and I remember being up at Lee, Abby Lee, her mother was out one day and I went up to Lee. We were sat on the front porch and he talked about, you know, the people around here. He says, in the beginning, when we were sharecropping, he said, they gave out because I couldn't read nor write, but I had 12 children, you know, and I think that all remained with Dolly and she vowed. She was very close to her father and she vowed that she would make that right. And that's why the library started. It was in honour of her dad. Everything that she did it for others, not for Dolly. You know, she didn't think about herself. I have so many memories of her, but they're real memories. She was always real to me. I remember we were over, she was in London and she was doing interviews and a couple of television shows and that. And she called me before she left Nashville and she says, how about hopping on a plane and coming over? And I did. And we were staying in the Dorchester and she had a suite there. And we were there in the morning. I was flying back that evening. She ordered some sausages. She loved the pork sausages. And French fries, as she called them. We call them chips.
Yeah.
And I was leaving to go to the airport. And she said, just hold on a minute, Margot. And she went over to the cold chips. And she rolled a napkin around them. And she says, take them for your journey in case you get hungry. You know, she was so... She was back in the times.
Yeah, and that was the practical thing you would do, yeah. That was...
Yeah. Yeah, she never forgot that she was dirt poor. And you know, Donal, we were all poor. We were poor in Donegal too. You know, we didn't have anything, but nobody had anything. You know, we were all the same. And where Dolly came from, when I went up to, she came from a place called Locust Ridge. And when I went up there the first time and I looked at what I could see the duet that we did, you know, God's Quran book. I could see her sitting on the front porch writing the words of the song. And we had a wonderful friendship. We weren't in each other's pockets all the time. But when she spoke to me and I spoke to her, we spoke with love and admiration. And I'll miss her forever.
Yeah. Margot O'Donnell, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you.
It is a huge loss, and our sympathies to you, because as you say, first and foremost, you have lost a friend. Margot, thank you indeed. I just want to read some of the, thank you. I just want to read some of the comments that we've got from people. A caller says, quote of many colours, anything sung by Dolly, the greatest that ever was or ever will be. Favourite songs, Jolene, quote of many colours, I will always love you. So many more, that's from Josie. Christopher says, I love all her songs, an amazing woman all around. It is a very sad day, one of the true greats. That's Christopher. Again, Rita, quote of many colours as well. And Dolly was an amazing woman. It's a very sad day. And Ruth, quote of many colours. So many people saying the quote of many colours is their favourite Dolly Parton song. And welcome back to the Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio. It's Donal Kavanagh standing in for Greg on the show today. If you were listening to Highland over December of last year, you'll have heard a lot of discussion about the Hague preferences. The Hague preferences were basically a protocol under which Ireland got extra quota as a recognition of the fact that Ireland had given over much of its waters to boats from other fleets, and that the Irish fleet traditionally over the distribution of quota under the Common Fisheries Policy had not really received an adequate share. So the Hague preferences was a means of addressing that anomaly. However, last December, due to the actions of a number of countries, the Hague preferences were effectively scrapped. The Irish Minister, Timmy Dooley, protested against that, but it's emerged that one department official tried to stop that objection, and that has added further fuel to the belief that farming will always gain preference over fisheries. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin is the Sinn Féin Marine spokesperson and, obviously, a TD for Donegal. Padraig, good morning.
Good morning, Donald.
Deputy McLaughlin, we know that, and you spoke a lot at the time about the actions of a number of countries in terms of their scrapping of the Hague preferences and their objection to it. I didn't have in my bingo card that we would get evidence that an Irish department official would do the same.
There's been a controversy around the fact that when it comes to the Fisheries Council, so Ireland has the presidency of the European Council right now as we speak until the end of this year. And one of those responsibilities is chairing the Fisheries Council. Fisheries Council is obviously crucial in terms of negotiating quota, and it happens in December every year. So it's important to hold that brief. And we became aware that Timmy Dooley, the current Minister for Fisheries, had written to the Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, protesting that he should be chairing this. So I pursued this letter. I heard about it in the media. I pursued the letter under Freedom of Information, and I managed to secure the letter. And when you read the letter, it is it's painful reading for people in the fishing and seafood industry, because he lays out the fact that the industry had campaigned for a dedicated Minister for Fisheries, that they felt that the brief was lost. So you have a Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, and for a long time there's been a minister for all of that. And fisheries was an afterthought. Fisheries was lost. So we have it confirmed that Minister Timmy Dooley is deeply concerned. It's a very worrying letter. But in the middle of it all, there's a shock. He says to Minister Martin Hayden, as you know, so Minister Martin Hayden knows this, a senior official, now the official isn't named, a senior official in the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine had discouraged Timmy Dooley, the minister, from standing up against the removal of the Hague preferences because they were negotiating around the Nitrates Directive at the time. So in other words, we were going to sacrifice, and I mean shaft, the fishing communities in favour of the farming community, which has always been the fear for all these years. That's the reason why they fought for a dedicated minister. So it's appalling on all sorts of levels, but it also confirms our fears that we have to absolutely change the culture in the overall department and the Department of the Marine. We have to change the culture and get a spirit of fighting for our fishing communities in place.
And the belief is that this is literally what happened in the 70s when the Common Agricultural Policy and the Common Fisheries Policy were both being negotiated. That fisheries, as you've said, were sold down the swanny and agriculture was given preference. Now, you and I had a conversation more than a year ago when it was coming up to the renegotiation and the changing of the Common Fisheries Policy, that maybe this time it'll be different, maybe this time we'll get a fairer and a more equitable place for the Irish fleet within that CFP. Based on what happened in December and based on what you're seeing now, that's looking less and less likely.
Yeah, I mean, the Hague preferences, and you've laid it out very well there, Donald, but just to reinforce that, when we came into the European Union, obviously we had vast waters all around us, and so did Britain. So the UK and Ireland both had these Hague preferences as a protection when particular species were under threat. So we would have used it for different types of species, whitefish and so on. But this time, our industry and our government were seeking to invoke them for mackerel, because there was going to be a huge cut in mackerel. There's a particular... God knows in Donegal we rely heavily on mackerel for our wealth and our coastal communities. So this was a huge one. Never before, when we invoked the Hague preferences, was it blocked. It never happened before. So we became aware that it was a group of European countries that were going to block it in support of, let's call it as for what it is, major corporations in Holland, where you have massive super trawlers patrolling up and down the coast of Ireland. That's who was pushing for this. That's who was at the table. That's who was in the room, actually, with governments from other European states. So this was
the big five, as you call it.
Yeah, absolutely. The big five. This was a vital fight. So in other words, big business was coming to the fore, and small communities on the west of Ireland were being utterly shafted. That's what was happening here in plain sight. And we had a senior official in the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine. We have it now in writing. We've suspected this for years. But what's so powerful about this, here's the Minister for Fisheries in writing saying to the Minister for Agriculture, as you know, so he's aware of this, that there was an attempt to stop me even making that fight at the time. So this is the mindset that's been there. So while it is appalling, it's actually quite powerful to have proof now in writing what we've always suspected, that basically our fishing communities, our coastal communities, have been shafted by these senior department officials, and it has to stop. And what this letter demonstrates also is, I mean, the response from Minister Martin Hayden to Minister Timmy Dooley's letter is nonsensical. You know, he's basically saying that me chairing these meetings, and I, you know, he knows nothing about fisheries with all due respect to him. You know, he's agriculture minister. Me chairing these meetings is a sign of how serious I'm taking it. It's the reverse of that. It's going backwards. The whole point of having a dedicated minister, and in fairness to Timmy Dooley, and I'll be fair about this, that man has toured the country. He's been up and down piers and harbours around the country. Genuinely, he is listening to fishing community. I mean, we need to see action very soon, but I have to say he has been respectful. He's been engaging. He knows what he's talking about. He does. That's the guy you need to have representing you in Europe. No harm to Martin Hayden. He's not the man to do that job. So the whole thing, to me, is very worrying, but it also proves what we've always said, that we're being shafted by our own people who are tasked with representing, and they're sacrificing fisheries and coastal communities for other sectors. And that's just wrong. It's just unacceptable.
And this brings us back to a point you made in your very first sentence, pretty much, that the industry has always called for a dedicated minister for the Marine. And I know you've always supported that too. I mean, have we now got to the point where we have to have a Department of the Marine, which is autonomous, argues in its own right, has its own minister, has its own seat at cabinet, and is completely separate from and distinct from agriculture?
Yeah, absolutely. And that minister should take on responsibility for offshore renewable energy, marine protected areas. Now, Minister Timmy Dooley he's covering two different departments, environment and energy and climate, and agriculture, food and marine. So he is dovetailing. So yes, there should be a dedicated, basically, minister for the marine, but all things transport, offshore renewable energy, environment, fisheries, everything that happens in our waters should be under one roof. And I think that this episode reveals that I get so angry when I think about this, because we're an island nation. This is a massive resource, you know, out to 200 miles all around our coast. That's our territorial waters, our exclusive economic zone. The potential to create wealth in all sorts of ways is there. But you need a department that's going to drive that, going to be solely focused on it. And if you have a department that's thinking about other things, as has been proven, I just feel that it now proves that we've been right all along, and you need a complete focus. So yes, Donal, that's a long-winded way of saying absolutely we need a dedicated minister.
And I suppose we have to say, in fairness to Timmy Dooley as well, he didn't take that advice, and he did try to put up a fight in December.
Yeah, I have to be fair. My approach in politics is give credit where credit is due, and then criticise where it's warranted. And you know, he did make the fight. He travelled around Europe. But what worries me is, you know, when you see shows like Yes Minister back in the day on TV, We know that these senior department officials are very powerful, and they are the ones who have constant communication with their counterparts across Europe. Were they really making a fight? Was Timmy Dooley fighting a lonely battle? I know that there was powerful economic interests at play here. Allied, let's be clear, it was Holland that led the charge on behalf of their big five massive corporations with their super trawlers, and they had support, sadly, in countries that were also where these boats are flagged, you know, like Germany and France and Poland. If we had had a dedicated focus with the Taoiseach leading out on this. By the way, I have raised this issue of Minister Timmy Dooley. You know, he's obviously a Fianna Fáil minister. I've raised it with Micheál Martin, the Fianna Fáil leader, the Taoiseach. And, you know, I wasn't impressed with him back in July. I'm hoping now that this letter is in the public domain, that he'll change tack, that he'll have a chat to Simon Harris and say, here, hold on, Timmy Dooley needs to be leading out on this. We need to have a different approach when we come to the Fisheries Council in December. So I'm hoping that the release of the letter into the public domain and the facts laid bare for everybody to see will finally bring an end to the messing around.
And do you believe that the Martin Hayden chairing these meetings rather than Timmy Dooley speaks to a power play between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael more than it speaks to who's the most appropriate minister to chair a meeting?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that, all right, Donal, for sure. There's definitely a bit of politics here, but that's just unacceptable to our fishing communities. And as I say, with all due respect, I mean, Martin Hayden, obviously, his expertise is agriculture, and that's fair enough. That's a huge issue for us, and that's what he should be focused on. But it's clear when you put questions, I've seen questions put to him down in Clonakilty at the last meeting there in the Fisheries Council in Cork. And you could see, he just didn't know what he was talking about. And that's fair enough. Like, there's areas of expertise that I don't have. Fisheries is my responsibility. I'm expected to know my stuff, to talk to people. The way it works, and you know this, Donal, you know, as a journalist for so many years, every day is a school day. Every single person you talk to, you're learning from. So if you're focusing on a particular area, you know, that's not what Martin Hayden's doing. So he can't possibly be the person to represent us in these. And it has to be Timmy Dooley. And this messing has to stop.
Deputy Patrick McLaughlin, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you.
That's Deputy Patrick McLaughlin there, and that discussion will continue on. Before we go to a break, just a few more of your comments with regards to Dolly Parton. What she did for children and understanding the importance of their reading is outstanding. She was a true giver to the music world and never forgot the community that she came from, and that is oh so true indeed. Now, I'm wearing my summery shirt, and I've been wearing summery shirts this past couple of days because I think we're going to be very soon getting to the point where the summery shirts will have to go away. Well, they'll have to go in a box, but they'll come out in a few weeks' time, because we might we might go somewhere where the shirts will be more appropriate. But that is another story. For around about 80,000 people, this weekend means a music pilgrimage, and they're all heading on the road down to Strathbally in County Laois to Electric Picnic. And a lot's going to be happening down in Strathbally over the next few days. And one of the people heading down there is a musician from Ballyshannon called Rian McCauley. Rian joins us in studio. Rian, good morning.
How are you? How are you going on?
Very well indeed. Now, those of you who populate TikTok and go there may well recognise Rian, because he's carved a name for himself on TikTok, and it's indicative of the fact now that, I mean, and Ryan, this is happening, that so many music careers are being forged, not on radio, not on stage, but on TikTok.
I know, TikTok's a big platform now for this generation with music, and it's making a lot of careers for musicians to bring out music and get their word out there, so it's brilliant.
No, and it's a total change because, I mean, obviously we here will have the Monday night sessions with Paul and Jimmy, which you've been on.
Yeah,
and you know, and it's an absolutely amazing thing that Paul and Jimmy do, and fair play to them for their ongoing commitment to local music. But it's come to the point now where someone can become quite popular and prominent without ever actually being on radio, and you know, you can be huge without being known three streets down.
Exactly, it's mental. Obviously, I started last year TikTok, so it's been a nice journey growing the following. You know, I have about 85,000 followers, or 86,
yeah,
counting now. So it's brilliant. I brought out my song Nickname on that platform first, and it done well. So that's why I brought it out. So it's a great platform to like bring out music. It's
and you've been gigging all over on the strength of that TikTok profile.
Oh yeah, I've been gigging all over Ireland at the moment. Obviously now this is the biggest gig of my career. Obviously just on the main stage of Electric Picnic, it's mental. So yeah, it's great. It's unreal.
Now, not only are you performing in your own right, but you're also performing with Tiny Tempa.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
So City Stages, 3 Ireland hold this City Stages for the last few years. They see me on TikTok and they reached out to me through email. So Tiny Tempa is the ambassador and promoter of it this year, and he's taken on, he was picking 4 artists, so he handpicked 4 people, which I was in one of them. So there's 3 others. So yeah, we were at the studio there last week with him, and we've been in the studio all week, and we're doing rehearsals with the 9-piece band behind us. So wow. it's amazing. Yeah, some big names in the band, like Van Morrison's bass player and Imelda May's drummer and all. So it's amazing to play alongside them and have a full band behind Nickname, my own song. So it's amazing.
And they're also contacts that you're going to, I'm sure, keep as well. And in the future, hey, it's no harm to know Imelda May's drummer. It is no harm to know Van Morrison's bass player.
I know. It's mental. Oh, yeah. They're sound to chat, and the whole team there, and Colm, he's the one that reached out to me. He's kind of the main man of the whole situation. And they're lovely. And Cian Boylan, he's the composer of it all. He's in Camden Studios. So they're all lovely, and the whole team of 3 are lovely. So
no, however, and let's be honest with this, the space you're in, which is the singer-songwriter with a guitar, it's a fairly crowded space.
It is.
There are a lot of male singer-songwriters with guitars, and no matter who you know, and no matter what sort of a profile you have on TikTok, you've got to put something there that's original, you've got to put something there that's creative, and you've got to put something there that speaks to yourself as a performer and as a creator. What is it about Rian that makes Rian different? What is it that gives Rian the edge that other people don't have?
I don't really know. I suppose there's a lot of competition at the moment, I guess, but there's still a gap, I guess, in the market in Ireland for music. Like, you know, like Aaron Rowe coming up now through, and all them lads, and you know, Jamie McIntyre, he's another lad that kind of started off. He actually done City Stages, but for me, I don't know, I think it's the energy and maybe the kind of personality that I kind of bring. Obviously on TikTok, I kind of done a niche thing where I mashed 2 songs together, which actually I'm performing with the 9-piece band. It's 2 songs kind of just put together. So you come into one song, you come to the other, which done high views on TikTok for me. So yeah, I just kind of want to bring emotion to the songs and bring them to life, I guess.
But we want Nickname It in the future to become one of the classic songs people think of when they think about Donegal. Why not grab a guitar and give us a blast?
I will.
This is Rian McCauley from Ballyshannon playing Electric Picnic at the weekend, also performing with Tiny Tempa and that 9-piece band. And let's do this really professionally. We'll put on the DJ voice from the old days. And now on the Rec Hugh Show on Highland Radio, here's Rian McCauley and Nickname.
And I bought a 1-way ticket and a ticket ain't home. Where you been, where you at, will you pick up the phone? And how's your family, how's your mother, and how have you been? I'm at a red light thinking about everything.
Call me by my nickname, never by my real name. Give me a good reason I should never go back. You told me I'm lying on the phone, now you're crying. The state of my mind, it'll never unwrap. You told me that I'm wrong and I said you're always right. Go back and forth in the middle of the night. Same old fight, the same goodbye, same my name. It doesn't feel the same. I'm on a one-way street and I'm taking our requests. I got a text from you saying you're doing the best. 4 years over, have you graduated now? Have you done your degree you've always dreamed about? You call me by my nickname, never by my real name. Give me a good reason I should never come back. You told me I'm lying on the phone, now you're crying. The state of my mind, it'll never unwrap. You told me that I'm wrong and I said you're always right. Go back and forth in the middle of the night. Same old fight, same goodbye, same my name. It doesn't feel the same, oh no. No, no, no. No, no, no. No, no, no. You call me by my nickname, never by my real name. Give me a good reason I should never come back. You told me I'm lying on the phone, now you're crying. It's a state of my mind that'll never unwrap. You told me that I'm wrong, and I said you're always right. Go back and forth in the middle of the night. Same old fight, the same goodbye, same my name. It doesn't feel the same.
Oh, that's good stuff. That is good stuff, Rian. That is superb. Really, really like that.
Thank you.
There's a great power to that voice, and it's clear at the moment that I think people love those good, powerful, strong voices, and that is a hell of a strong voice. I like that. That's really, really good.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Rian, we wish you all the best with
it. So much
performing with Tiny Tempa at this point. Will you get a chance to play in your own right at any point over the weekend?
On stage.
Yeah.
So I'm on the stage by myself for a few songs.
Oh, you're getting then, on by yourself as well, yeah, and then Tiny Tempa.
Then we join Tiny Tempa.
Oh, that's so very good indeed.
Saturday main stage.
Yeah, and we know there's numerous days. I mean, I must be honest. I was last at Electric Picnic in 2005. I haven't managed to get to the picnic since. And the last time I was there, it was headlined by Flaming Lips, Nick Cave, Arcade Fire. You know, that was
God.
It was a hell of a weekend. It was a hell of a weekend, but. You know, you're really going to fit in there. But there's all little smaller stages and little forest stages and all that.
It's huge.
And,
like, I was there last year.
Yeah. And I could really see you in one of those smaller stages. And I can also see you coming back to the main stage in your own right, because that is the sort of song that's going to get you there. Rian, absolute pleasure.
Thanks
we
so
wish
much.
You all the best over the weekend. And we never even got to talk about Simon Cowell, but you know what? He's talked about enough. let's concentrate on Rian McCauley, not Simon Cowell.
Thanks so much for having me.
Rian, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks
a lot.